In the year 2000, while struggling with bipolar disorder, I attempted suicide. By the grace of God, I survived. Today, I am living a full life, reaching out to anyone who may be feeling trapped or hopeless. If you or someone you know is contemplating suicide, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW ROH and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at. Williamswear is now a part of the CLW 83 Network and is proud to offer official CLW 83 Network merchandise. Go to williamswear.clw83.com. Click the CLW 83 Wear button and browse through an ever-growing, ever-changing selection of items dedicated to your favorite CLW 83 shows and websites. The BS Big Show, the NAWC, Game Show Garbage, and many more. All available at williamswear.clw83.com, the official online store of the CLW 83 Network. Tune in and shop right now.
Exclusive interviews and thought-provoking discussion on pop culture and reality TV. Listen live every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, to Pop to Reality, where pop culture meets reality TV. Hosted by Jeff Weiss and Mark Roberts. Pop to Reality on Blog Talk Radio.
CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
And now, the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net, proudly presents Blog Talk Radio's most anticipated award show of the year. The 2011 Nikki Awards, honoring the best and worst in professional wrestling over the last 365 days. Guests scheduled to appear but unlikely to show up tonight include The Gobbledygooker, Johnny Ace, The Dude Busters, Heidenreich, Puppet the Midget, the entire roster from Wrestlelicious, and Optimus Primo. And now, here is your master of ceremonies for the evening, your host for the 2011 Nikki Awards, Nikki Haymon.
Welcome to the last episode of the North American Wrestling Connection, the last episode of 2011, that is. My name is Nikki Haymon, and I seem to have a pretty full round table tonight. As I see who all has shown up tonight, I have our soundman extraordinaire, Mr. Jim Williams.
And just for typo, the entire locker room from Wrestlelicious.
All right.
Oh yeah, Typho's in the building.
Yes, go ahead, Typho.
So, since I've mentioned him, let me speak of our tall man from Texas, Mr. Typho. Good evening.
Good evening, everybody. It's good to be here on the last show of the year.
Let's see. I also have our man who is waiting for the ball to drop on somebody's head, Jason Block.
Yeah, wow. Anything really happened this year? Kind of a boring year, you know?
It was just a year full of burials and accusations and commentary gaffes and...
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
And show-offs. If you haven't heard Dolph Ziggler, he's a show-off. He'll tell you that 500 times on commentary.
And probably the last month we've seen the word Twitter about 5,000 times just last month.
Yeah, are we trending? Are we trending?
No, we are not trending at the moment.
Hashtag NAWC.
Yeah, there we go. If you like to follow us tonight.
hashtag Nikki Awards.
Yeah, there you go.
Now you're talking. Who else I got at the table here? Ah, yes. One of the voices you just heard is our UFC correspondent, VRM, who's probably watching the show rather than listening to us.
Yeah, first time ever that a UFC event on a Friday night since it's New Year's tomorrow. So live right now on my screen is UFC 141, and right now, of course, it's the usual Rogan and Goldberg intro fest before the first fight.
This is going to be one of the greatest fights of the year, Joe. Shut up. Pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, it could be, but I don't see it going past two rounds because they're going to kill each other.
Yeah, pretty much.
And let's see. Finally at our table, the one man who uses a folding chair as a party favor, Brian Henniger.
Hello, everyone. Hey, Jim.
Yes?
I'm wearing a T-shirt right now.
Oh, I wonder what it says on your T-shirt. Hint, hint.
Well, I will tell you. It says...
Plug coming.
Hit him with the folding chair!
Available at williamsquare.spreadshirt.com. Also available, the Nikki Effenhaman shirt, to BTR cares.
How is everyone doing?
Now we're doing well.
I need a picture of you in the shirt.
That will be coming to you tomorrow, hopefully.
Sounds good.
I will say this much. Just came off one of the best months I've ever had at my new job. And since you did your Mike Goldberg, all to my Joe Rogan. Okay. I tell you what, Mike. There's going to be a fight and a half. Brock Lesnar is going to be coming out like fire tonight.
That's pretty good.
Anybody else remember the big UFC on Fox premiere where, like, going into the fight, the smile on Dana White's face, bigger than life, fight ends in under a minute, they come back to him, you can see the stands literally emptying behind him, and he's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I actually blinked and I missed it, so, no.
We all blinked and missed it, let me tell you.
I went to make a Pop-Tart, and I came back. It was gone.
No.
So, thankfully, we only have a little bit of news. As you all know, the internet has slowly reassembled itself after the carnage that was the TLC pay-per-view.
But it'll never be the same.
No. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure everybody here is happy that our three champions are still champions 10 days out.
Yes.
You know it.
I don't know. Apparently they're all killing ratings, though.
Actually, somebody
in WWE might have gotten smart to why the ratings are dying.
Yeah.
Well, duh.
Yes.
I'm glad it only took them like 2 years to figure this out.
Yes.
Yes. Now, like I said, the first time I read this article, I want to believe it. I so want to believe it. And after SmackDown tonight, I almost don't believe it. The fact that somebody up north is finally getting the message that Michael Cole sucks.
Yeah.
You think they would have figured this out when they hired him in 1997?
Well, no.
Right.
No, he was in the perfect role in 97 and 98 as being the backstage interviewer / butt monkey to The Rock and DX's antics. That was perfect.
And then he got butt raped by Heidenreich.
Apparently, Heidenreich made a man out of. Never mind.
him old country way.
How to make him tolerable? Just put JBL with him, and he's fine.
No. Here's the thing. There was a poll also on Wrestling Observer that basically said that, and of course, you know, this is all. Then they go, what do they think of Michael Cole as an announcer? And they say he's negative to the product, 92%, okay? We know it, they know it, but what are they going to do about it?
Well, it doesn't look like it's done anything so far because Michael Cole was, well, I can't even comment about how Michael Cole was tonight because I automatically muted it after the Booker T. Cody Rhodes segment because I figured all that Cole was going to do tonight was just shit on Booker T.,
which he did.
Okay, so I didn't miss anything. But we had, you know, they already had the answer to this question about Michael Cole, and in fact, they even broadcast it. I mean, I've got a memorable moment for you guys.
You know, the only thing worse than listening to Michael Cole is nothing!
Oh, very nice.
Wise old man.
Nice
like a
guy.
Couple of internet nerds.
Well, a couple of internet nerds that I got a little bit more stroke than most of us fans, apparently. So I don't know I wish I knew what they were going to do. Personally, I hear a lot of people saying make him a manager. I'm to the point that I just don't want him on my TV for any reason.
Well, they can't just convert him back to a normal commentator. That's never going to work. So they've got to do something different with him. Manager makes sense, but I don't see them pulling the trigger on that either. I think they're just going to keep this going. I mean, they can't fire the guy, realistically, can they?
Ship him back to NXT and NXT only.
Yeah. Let him go wallow on NXT and let's get Stryker back on TV.
Oh, yes, please.
Where am I?
Yeah,
hang on.
What kind of moment would
please
that be
do
if
it.
He was back?
It's a
mark-out
moment! A
mark-out, bro! But no, we want him on TV.
Please do it! Please!
There we go!
Please, save this poor man from Enoch, from the never
Striker for President 2012. Come on now.
He's the general manager of NXT or something. He makes matches, so I guess he's the general manager.
Could be. What were you going to say, Jason?
I was going to say, what I would love to see is maybe a Stanford Lawler combination.
I think that would be awesome.
And then put Matthews and Booker T and cut Cole out. There you go.
Yeah, but for whatever reason, Vince has a hard-on for a three-man broadcast team.
Well, then what we do on Fridays, then, we have Stanford, Matthews, and Booker. And then on Monday, we... No, how do they do this? No, Stanford and Lawler on Monday.
Right.
And Booker T there.
And have Booker T or Josh bounce back and forth between the two shows.
And then have Stryker, you know, as a backstage person. Well, sure.
Exactly. And then we take Michael Cole and give him an internet show that makes it so much easier for me to ignore him.
Or put him on the WWE Network or something, anything.
Yeah.
Like this 2.0.
For Raw, I'd do Josh and Kevin Nash.
Which, by the way, warning, he tweeted that he's fine and will be back soon.
But I can't take Lawler. He's almost as unbearable as Cole to me.
I personally would rather listen to Lawler do nothing but his lame jokes for 2 hours than any combination with Michael Cole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I probably would too, but them together is just horrible to me because they're both just terrible.
Yeah, well, speaking of commentary, now I got to listen to Mark Goldberg and Joe Rogan because here comes Bruce Buffer for this first match. By the way, Joe's keeping score at home. Jimmy Hedges versus Nam Phan is the opening match.
Mm. Well, no, put it this way. Joe Rogan and Mike Goldberg are not bad. Oh, and by the way, I ordered the Internet pay-per-view last Friday with Kevin Kelly and Nigel McGuinness, Ring of Honor Final Battle 2011. It was so nice to listen to a pay-per-view for 4 hours and actually listen to the commentary that meant something.
Thank you.
Oh, God. They actually called matches and stuff.
They
actually called the move. What a concept, right?
I'm sorry?
I'm just saying they actually called the moves. What a concept, eh?
Yes, and actually put wrestlers over. Who knew? Yes. Instead of
Well, speaking of putting
them, put them over.
Sorry about that. Speaking of putting people over, can I put myself over just for about 10 seconds here?
You're on the clock.
Okay, I have posted the first two parts of my first annual Henny Awards for the best and worst of wrestling in 2011. You can see them in the Rest of Wrestling panel.
Time.
I tried, damn it, I tried.
Copycat,
Let
by the
finish.
Way. Go ahead, finish, Brian.
You can see them at the Rest of Wrestling forum at the fan boards at the Freakin' Awesome Network. So if you could check those out, it would do a lot for my ego.
Ego? Didn't know you had one. Wow.
It's tiny, such that it is.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. What else have I got on here?
By the way, the funniest story of the week, in my opinion, was, of course, we saw that CM Punk had a hero's welcome this week on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, he went to my hometown of New York City to Madison Square Garden.
Oh, yes, I know where you're going with this.
I was denied entrance by the Madison Square Garden security guards. Because they didn't think he was an employee of the WWE.
I got the bell.
Mark.
And he tweeted, "This is some seriously Larry David shit."
Strangely, AJ had no problems getting in.
I saw something similar to this a few years ago during Kendrick's first run in the WWE. The security guards outside the Gund Arena, now Quicken Loans Arena, stopped him because they didn't believe he was a wrestler either. Mainly because he looked like he was delivering pizzas.
Oh,
he looked like that guy on The Price is Right with the same name. Yeah.
Yeah, him.
Yeah, that's
possibly delivering a singing telegram.
Yes.
but yeah, I mean, the guy who was the face of the WWE can't get into Madison Square Garden.
He should have just told him he worked for catering.
He should have said he worked for Waffle House and was delivering.
That's what I was looking for, but I got crickets. Oh, well.
Oh, man. But, wow. I mean, you know.
Poor guy.
Poor guy.
I have to admit I'm humble.
I think he's been humble. I mean, just funny as hell.
It's just a messed up situation. It's just
bullshit.
Thank you. Hey. Nice.
Well, that's not all we got.
That's true. You're right. I need to introduce our affiliates, don't we?
Yes, we do.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to our two affiliates who will be sending in their news items. First, our East Coast group.
WORK.
Oh,
work
nice.
Radio.
It's a work. Brother.
Wow. That's excellent.
And our West Coast affiliate.
KFBE, Kayfabe Radio.
Oh, wow.
Ow. B. Bryant comes through again, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, that.
Yes,
awesome.
Somebody deserves a win. Somebody deserves a win.
That's
your today's special value win, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Oh, could you please play the WORK jingle again? Because I think we got to talk about something regarding that.
Oh, okay. Breaking news from.
Yes, indeed. Give me one second. I got to get back up there. We got too much crap on here. I've got to clean this out.
Yeah.
Breaking news from the East Coast.
Yes.
Play, damn it.
WORK. Work radio.
It's a work.
Brother.
Now, we have, you know, we have seen the videos that have been playing on Raw the last 6 weeks or so.
Yeah.
And the most recently one called The End Begins. Mm-hmm. And one Chris Jericho stated, I believe, during our two-week break, quote, "I'm not working for WWE ever again. Deal with it."
Bullshit.
Sticky likes their new toys.
Okay,
oh, my good Lord.
By the way, I have to credit a great soundboard for that one. That is the No Agenda Podcast soundboard. But that one is...
I'm going to wear the button out on that one, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And supposedly he's going to be in Memphis from January 2nd to January 4th. And, wow.
I don't know, guys.
I mean, put it to you this way. Where do you put him and how? Because I think I had the perfect scenario to debut whoever this person may be, Jericho.
Yeah.
Because we had a setup this week where CM Punk had to go through a gauntlet match. And by the way, Mr. Cole, let me show you how to get some real heel heat when Mr. Laurinaitis came out as CM Punk. How brilliant was that, by the way?
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. And this was one of the few segments, unfortunately, I was still at home. And my parents are enforce a no wrestling zone at the house. So I only got to see bits and pieces. But seeing Laurinaitis come out was just brilliant. Absolutely.
I'm glad you liked
brilliant.
It, Nikki. I did that just for you, Nikki. I'm glad you liked it. Boys want to do the best that I can for the WWE Universe.
Because
and now I'm
going
to get on the skateboard.
Because right, I'm the vice president of talent relations.
Mr. Excitement.
I'm Mr. Excitement, and I'm going after the breeze. The Bella.
And I am one of a kind.
He's got the touch.
Can I ask a quick question here? How many packs of Marlboro Reds do you have to smoke a day to get a voice like that?
Phew.
Actually, they're menthols, and it's 5. But thank you for asking.
Okay, Funk Man, give me my microphone back.
We had a gauntlet match to set up a new number one contender, and it turns out to be Dolph Ziggler.
Who's a show-off, by the way.
Now, the way I would debut Mr. Jericho would be after, you know, Punk defeats Ziggler, or he intervenes on behalf of Ziggler or something. I don't know. Somewhere in that vein, I think, would be the best spot.
I think what's going to happen is that Punk is going to beat Ziggler. Vicky's going to get kicked to the back at some point. And as Punk is celebrating, we either get a new version or we get the video that aired this week. The lights go out. We don't even get the countdown. We just get the pyro. And then the Connecticut Yankee music.
Hopefully this time they don't show him backstage before he comes out.
they had some twisted logic that supposedly we were going to need a second to figure out who it was to start getting a hold of people. The video package leading up to the countdown to him coming out was a full minute. And if you didn't know who it was by then, you're an idiot.
Oh, and by the way, how funny was it to have a face crazy Archer?
Yeah.
I'm calling him Tweener for the moment.
Right.
Although I certainly approve of anybody kicking the crap out of the Miz.
I think he should just go full time into his Confederate Army gear.
Jimmy goes marching in, hurrah, hurrah, yes. And he's still referring to the little Jimmy, so that's always fun. Shoot all acquaintance,
be for God. You're gonna get God.
Appropriate for this time of year, yes.
Shazam!
That's what I was looking for, damn it. Did that get taken off the board? I am protesting. All right, who's been playing with my message board? Oh, there it is. Never mind. Nobody's allowed to take stuff off the board here.
Ninja, please. Hell no.
That's right.
So let's see. Unfortunately, it has not been all fun and games over the last couple of weeks, as WWE has suffered some pretty big setbacks in the injury department. And unfortunately, this news does not come from our affiliates. Let's start with El Patron, who unfortunately had to come out on Raw this week to lament the fact that he has torn his groin. He refused to blame Nikki or Brie Bella for it.
Wow. Went one step farther than Bret Hart's groin pull, the likes of which you've never seen before in your life.
Okay, now I realize who El Patron is. I didn't know who he was at first.
So
El Gran Jefe, him.
Yeah, him. Juan Bradshaw Layfield.
yeah.
Oh, I like that.
You can thank Christian. But unfortunately, we lose Del Rio probably through WrestleMania, probably until early next summer. Because a groin tear, well, let me ask you gentlemen about a groin tear.
I have pulled my groin.
So have I.
That's what she said.
No.
Hey. No, you...
Sorry.
There wasn't even a she there either. That's the scary thing. No.
Sorry, go on.
Yeah, you can't walk when you pull. You can barely walk when you pull your groin. Now, so
yeah, I've
now,
pulled
no,
and strained, and you're kind of dragging.
Yeah, it's not pretty. No.
I do have to say this though, seeing Alberto Del Rio come up in the wheelchair. Anybody else get the vibe that he was doing his best impersonation of Guy Caballero from SCTV?
Oh, yes!
I didn't even think of that.
No. Joey Styles had the tweet of the week on this. He tweeted to Ricardo Rodriguez that Joel Gertner wanted his gimmick back because you noticed he had his neck brace with the tuxedo with the bow tie on it. And since I actually... No, Joel Gertner, actually. I actually emailed him, and he already knew it because he followed it on the tweets and all that good stuff. So he saw that and laughed, and he responded.
I'd like Ricardo to start doing, like, Joel Gertner intros in Spanish. A lot of us won't know what he's saying. Maybe they could get away with it.
Yo estoy... El quintessentiale muffin de stud.
Doesn't work, man.
And a good God, handsome man.
That's right.
Loudy, loudy, loudy. Now, the other one, actually, some people on the internet think this is a work. For those of you who watched SmackDown this evening, I'd like to, you know, I'm going to even let our audience know that I recognized one of the poor fellows that had to abandon the elevator leading to the scene with Barrett and Orton kicking each other's asses in said lift. That would be our resident referee, Mr. Brandon Tull.
Uh-huh. Woo! Oh, really?
It'll work if you can get it.
He was asked to come. He was actually in Chicago for a tryout and got to do this one scene for SmackDown when they were in Indianapolis. Lucky bastard got paid, too. Anyway.
Hello.
But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the fact that they didn't show Wade Barrett throwing Randy Orton down the stairs. Damn it.
They should have just inserted footage of Zach Gallen being thrown down the stairs and see if anyone noticed.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, somebody's gotten into the New Year's Eve liquor already with these ideas. We can tell.
Well, the fact that, you know, the last time somebody went flying down the stairs was Mick Foley, ironically being kicked down said stairs by Mr. Orton.
Yeah.
Karma's a bitch, ain't it, Randy? Anyway, so to put it another way, just the fact that the word has gotten out that he apparently does have a back injury that is going to put him out for some time.
Yeah.
Now, go ahead.
The latest update on Russell Chat report from WWE was a herniated disc on the left side of his L4, L5.
Mm-hmm.
See. Ooh. That sounds expensive.
The L stands for lumbar, which is
so,
not
lumbar.
Okay.
So middle lower back.
Lower back.
Okay.
Yes, because since I actually have worked in personal injury, when you're talking about L, it's lumbar. If you have a T, that means thoracic, which is a different, which is the upper back, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and then if you have C, you're in deep shit.
That's
yeah.
cervical. That's your neck. That's not good.
No, so
that's Austin territory there.
Yep.
Now the worry is that if this is indeed a work, and I don't think it is. If it was a work, they'd have him show up at the Rumble since it's in St. Louis. But he's already won a Rumble, so I don't think they're going to pull that.
Hmm.
Could it be a...
I'd open the Rumble for the return of Bobby Lashley.
No offense, but I hope they don't bring Bobby Lashley back.
I don't think anybody wants that.
Maybe
Donald Trump.
Mm.
Trump, if you had Bobby Lashley right in front of Donald Trump's face and you asked Donald, okay, Trump, who is this person? He wouldn't know.
He wouldn't.
He wouldn't know.
That's his man, the great Bobby Lashley.
Speaking of celebrities, WWE got a little peeved because the supposed celebrity guest wrestler tweeted that he's already signed a deal way before they were actually supposed to do it.
And
what are you talking about?
Shaquille
what are you talking
O'Neal.
About? The big Aristotle.
Yes, Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh goodness,
Shaq Tweet baby.
Yeah.
So the Diesel is coming in, huh?
You know what? I think the Diesel will bring fans in because he was and has been a fan and can actually work. Maybe.
Yeah, I would. I would
learn how to tweet from Brodus Clay.
Uh oh,
he's early.
Oh no,
Santa Maria.
May I have your attention, please?
May I have your attention, please? Big Aristotle.
I have just received an email from the anonymous general manager on my Sega Dreamcast.
What the hell?
That's pretty impressive. Okay. And I quote, stop scaring the fan base with these speculations, especially when it comes to Bobby Lashley.
No.
Last thing we need is a bastard like him running around. In fact, you need to take I'm talking to you early, but you need to go find your guest. Oh, that's right.
And just a quick note before we go to that update on UFC 141. Jimmy Hedges is more than likely going to win by a unanimous 30-27 over Nam Phan.
Okay. And we'll definitely have more of the show shortly.
Roll the tape on this.
I am indeed ready for such an occasion.
It's actually going to be a very boring show this week. But wait!
How you doing tonight, Al?
Doing good. Nice selection of music there, and I am wearing pants.
Okay.
Hey! All right, that's a bonus.
We'll play Cafe, not Play Mania. Play Mania was a GSN show.
Well, let me tell you something, brother. Play Mania's running wild.
Exactly right.
Oh, jeez! Mute Mama Seidelman!
It's a dance number. Yeah, we get it.
We have hit recap!
Can you hear me?
Okay, there we go. I keep on hearing this noise in the background.
Down.
Yeah.
This is going to be more fun than a Chaz Bono sex change.
You win the internet, sir! You win the internet!
And actually, I'm interested in seeing that matchup today with him and Carl, because I think Carl, with all due respect, is overrated.
Speaking of him, Carl is on the air. Carl, how are you doing?
You can all kiss my ass. Overrated, huh, Klaus? Anyway.
No, that's a thing. That's a thing, actually.
Stop.
One more time.
Look,
okay,
it's time.
Like, the mayonnaise is coming through the bun.
That's Bowser.
Well, to be honest, I'm sure she's got her feet up somewhere, saluting us with her pickles and ice cream, going, "Yeah, baby."
Oh yeah. I don't understand this love affair with Alabama.
Oh, wow.
Benoodles. Chris likes you, Benoodles.
Yeah. You're a good little girl. Yes. Don't fight.
Talk about Jim Turner. Let's talk about Ryan Howard. How about that?
Howard, you can't say because he's fat.
Because if the WWE doesn't want him, fine, you know?
And Justin Tuck.
Mother. Oh, come
Mother
on.
Tucker. Mother Tucker. Mother Tucker. We have a great show for you tonight, as if I'd say otherwise.
Thanks for joining us, and until next time, stay sporty.
This is going to be like a good championship boxing match. You're not going to see a lot of hits, but the hits that you'll see are going to be good.
The CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
I heard that. But the Nikki Awards will be coming up later in the show. First, though, we're going to have our guest tonight, and nobody on the panel knows who this man is. I may have mentioned him in the past, but he's a gentleman who's very influential in the Ohio independent scene, and somebody who laughed his ass off the night I got kicked out of the IWA. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to a promoter who has blind faith in individuals such as myself and Super Oprah, Bull Miller. Bull, good evening, sir. Can you hear us, Bull? Bull? Oi, Bull? Dagnabbit.
Bull, are you there? Talk to me, boy.
I'm hearing an echo in the background on your Nikki's,
Maybe it's just from the extra line in here. Whoops. Okay, he went away. Sorry about that. Bull, if you can still hear us, please feel free to call back in. Let me send him a note real quick. Johnny Ace Communications.
Thumb, 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 thumb. There you go.
At least know what I'm texting. What do you got, VRM?
An update, the official scoring from the Fan Hedis fight was a unanimous decision for Hedis, 30-25, 30-25, 30-26.
Okay.
Next up is Vladimir Matyushenko versus Alexander Gustafsson.
All right, let's try this again because I have the dear promoter on the line. Mr. Bull Miller, can we hear you now?
I can always hear you. Can you hear me?
All right.
There we go.
By on, live and living color.
And your user, oh dear, oh dear. Well.
Oh dear. Is this Nikki?
Is the very same. And I know I heard somebody laughing before I passed out because you didn't come out and save me from David Lanning.
Oh, is he on here too?
No, thank
God.
What
kind of setup is it? Don't put me on here with Lanning.
No. Lanning is still nursing his poor woken knee.
Oh man, I think it's his shoulder. He's claiming a knee too.
I forget. I just know that karma bit him back for getting me kicked out of the IWA.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. But you know what? You know David Lanning about as well as I know David Lanning, and it's probably all BS anyways. He's just trying to sit back and collect some unemployment checks and maybe have some fans write him little letters. You know, he's got these little retarded fans that that like him. They send him little letters and try to make him feel good.
So are the fans still crying for his up-and-coming return? I mean, I hope at least you're getting some new fans coming in for the likes of Super Oprah and, who else? Well, Super Oprah should be putting plenty of asses in the seats.
Oprah's doing real well for himself. I got some bad news for you, Nikki. He's kind of jumped sides on us since you left.
What?
He's in that mamby-pamby side now.
No! I knew I should have found my way back into the building.
Once you left, the whole thing fell apart. It's all crazy. But what are you doing lying to the people, anyways, Nikki?
Lying?
Yeah, back when you couldn't hear me, but I could hear you. I heard you lying to the people here on this radio show.
What was I lying about?
You referred to me as a gentleman.
Sincerest apologies. I should know better. Because you and Gator and the Russians.
No, don't put me in there with Gator and the Russians.
Oh, okay. Apologies again. But I can
They probably are. Gator's a gentleman. He's an idiot. He's a gentleman. And as far as the Russians, Nikki, they totally proved your greatness because you managed the Russians and you was able to make something out of them.
Something
which it takes a great mind.
Something is a very good one to describe it. Are they still there?
Well, did you tell me that later on today we're going to talk about the problems with indie wrestling?
I was more looking into, well, you're not one of the problems of indie wrestling. You're an IWC.
But the Russians are.
Yes, they are.
So to answer your question, if we're not going to go in that direction later on, the Russians may be on their way back, but they've been kind of 86th from the IWA for a while because they have issues with showing up and canceling out and dare I say it, just plain old being chicken shit from time to time about who they're booked against.
Tisk. That's a crying shame. That's a crying shame.
Enough rest for the Russians.
There you go. So who else is making a huge splash with your organization?
You know who just came in? Beautiful Bobby Watson. That name ring a bell for you?
It should.
You remember the late, great Wimpy Watson? No.
No.
Well, beautiful Bobby's Wimpy's, I don't know, nephew or something. And he's in, and he's actually managing, I'm gonna butcher this word, you can correct it for me, a Russian sympathizer. There you go. Wrathchild.
Wrathchild's
in. You remember Wrathchild?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Yeah, that's right, because you made some of them SCW events when you was here.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wrathchild's there, and he since went Russian on us.
First he's a goblin, and then he's a Russian?
He's a goblin?
Oh, wait, I'm thinking of the wrong guy.
Maybe. Long hair. Did I mention he has long hair? I don't know what I'll say about him. He's a good wrestler, though, but he has turned Russian. He's formerly from Zanesville, now making his home in Moscow.
I hope you're not paying his trans.
I'm not paying nothing. You know that deal.
That's what they all say.
But he's making Columbus every week now. We're doing Columbus every week.
I heard that. Congratulations. Or is it condolences that you got kicked out of Chillicothe?
We're still in Chillicothe.
Fair enough. That reminds me. You, sir, not only did you run an organization, but you used to run a school.
I'm running a school again, too.
Now, are you still recruiting from the low end, as in I understand that for a while you took 16 and 17-year-olds?
Yeah, what? I'll tell you the truth about that. Now, we had a kids' class back in the day, and here's what happened. The kids, because they're stupid and they have no fear at all, they would learn how to do all these fancy, twisty, flying, leaping, triple somersault things off the top rope. And what would happen is the adult class would show up on kids' class night so they could see what the kids are doing and steal their stuff. That's hard to believe, isn't it?
Actually, I do believe that. But I also have worked with one of your graduates.
Who would that be?
Super Oprah.
Oh, that's true. Oprah's, wow, what can you say about Oprah? She wasn't Super Oprah back in those days.
I think it was
Mama Mustafa.
And I still haven't seen those pictures. I've seen the early Super Oprah. And both versions of Super Oprah, there's the Big Mama Super Oprah. There's the Super Oprah I managed, who has also been on the show. And then there's...
Well, heaven forbid, I would have loved to. I would love to listen to that one.
I'll have to. We'll have to get that out of the archives for you.
Oprah's one of those people that I would just love to be able to like sneak inside their mind for an hour, because I'm a tough guy and I can take a lot of punishment. And I would love to know what goes on in the mind of Super Oprah at times.
You are braver than I, sir.
I'm just stupid. Stupid.
Strong like bull. Oh, sorry. Smart like bull. Strong like me.
Yeah.
So.
Anyways. So this is Blog Talk. Someone else from Blog Talk. Like anyone can have a Blog Talk account. Is that how it works?
Anybody. Now, that they have to be very brave to have one of these accounts. We just got lucky and got a sponsor.
You got a sponsor?
We have a couple of sponsors. We have WrestleChat.net, which is an excellent website that covers all the news that is news in wrestling. We also have...
Now, is that a regional thing? I mean, it's like, you know, you got like here in Columbus or in Ohio. They got like, you know what I'm saying. Is it regional or is that just for all over news from all over the place?
That's all over the place. And in fact, this radio show is all over the place.
Awesome. Because it's on the internet. Even I know that, Nikki.
Yeah. Well, like I said, my co-hosts, we have someone from New York City.
Awesome.
We have somebody from Jersey. We have someone from Nashville. We've got someone from Texas. Yes, I know Texas isn't a city. And I missed somebody.
We got two of us from Jersey.
I'm sorry, VRM. You're right.
Two from Jersey?
And you missed your friend from Tennessee.
Tennessee, but I said Nashville. How far off was I?
I believe Nashville's in Tennessee.
Yeah, you're pretty far off. Nashville's in West Tennessee. I'm in East Tennessee.
So, apologies.
Oh, and by the way, sir, considering what you did to Nikki, I think it's important I point out, I have a folding chair, and I know how to use it.
He talking to me?
He's talking to you, Bull.
Well, let me tell you something, you bum. First of all, I thought I was pretty nice to Nikki. I like Nikki. Second of all, here's one for you, because you're from Tennessee. Right, Tennessee, did I say that correct? I'm trying to get the voice down for Tennessee. I've been to East Tennessee, I've been to North, South, whatever, they all sound like that. They're all a bunch of redneck hicks. Speaking of which, guess who we got coming in here to the IWA pretty soon?
Who that?
Who?
Who that? Who that? Who that? Who gonna beat that dog? Never mind, that's an old one. We're gonna have none other than former NWA heavyweight champion Wildfire Tommy Rich.
Hello.
Oh. No kidding. I'm sorry.
He's a Tennessee boy.
That's old school. That's
old school. I thought you'd appreciate that.
I actually
being
did.
A fellow Tennessean.
No, I'm a New Yorker. I'm a Yankee. You know the
you're
New Yorkers.
A Yankee.
A Yankee.
That explains everything.
Excuse me, Mr. South Jersey boy. But I actually have a legitimate question for Mr. Miller. How is, honestly, as an independent promoter, how do you work around both good and economic bad times? Right, we're going through a lot of economic bad times right now. How many cards do you run a year usually right now?
Right now I'm doing about 6 to 7 a month.
Wow, that's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yes.
Like almost one every weekend.
Wasn't the guy from Tennessee who came up with those numbers, right?
No, no.
It had to be the guy from Jersey, maybe.
New York in the house, though.
New Yorkers are buttheads, but they're usually a little smarter than that, so it had to be the guy from Jersey.
Hey, it's late, and I've already started on my New Year's drinking, so there you go.
Man, you got a good head start.
There you go.
To answer your question, a lot of people that know me will say that I'm cheap. I prefer to think that I'm smart and that sometimes you got no one to hold them and you got to know when to fold them. sometimes you got to know when to, you know, do cheaper shows, and sometimes you can spend a little money doing this and that, but it's you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them.
Yeah.
And getting sponsors, bravo to you, Nikki, is a big help too, because while a lot of times the fans may forget to show up at different events, the sponsors' checks usually they make it to the bank.
There you go.
And this is why I am not permitted to sponsor a show.
You're not.
Would you accept a check from me, Bull? Really?
Would I take what from you? Cash? I'll take cash from you.
You'll take cash
from me. No, send me cash.
You don't take checks from a Heyman.
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to say, the last name's Heyman. That might be more true than you even realize about that Heyman last name. But,
yeah, quite frankly, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you know,
Nikki's
guys,
a wonderful lady, though. Even if her last name is Heyman.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. All right. You got to rat Nikki out about something. Tell us something about Nikki that we don't know.
Yes.
Oh, God, I don't know. You probably know her better than I do. Her tenure here in Ohio, at least with the groups I was working with, was pretty brief because she got some other opportunities and moved away from us. I'll tell you this: she's very professional what she does. She's there. She's prepared. If she's going to run late, she calls you and lets you know, which is better than 85% of the guys. So there's some you might not know about the illustrious Nikki Heyman.
Okay.
Now, if he's looking for who she was sleeping with last night, I'm not going to divulge that on the international web.
No.
Yes.
But damn it, he's going to post it on his Facebook.
I'll put it on my Facebook. Are you on my Facebook, Nikki?
Don't do it, man.
She knows where you live, sort of.
Yes, I do know where he lives, and toilet paper's cheap.
I think I'm right. I think they got more dirt than I do.
And
Nikki,
by the
need
way,
to shut up and let us guys talk now, Mr. New Jersey. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
For that, I'm gonna. I will actually get through to Super Oprah, and she knows where you live too.
I gotta see her every Sunday. Zach, they did tell me this Sunday. She told me she's not gonna make it. Is she or he? She confused.
She gets her shoulder up when she wrestles. I know this.
She did tell me this Sunday she probably wasn't going to make it because she was planning on partying real hard the night before.
That's probably, that's extremely true. Yeah. And, well, I don't think I ever got to tell you the story about the escape from West Virginia.
No, I don't think I, go ahead, it's your dime.
So, I had Super Oprah and one of his brothers and Jesse, I cannot remember his last name.
I know his real and true last name.
But we had gone to go work a show in West Virginia at LPW, which unfortunately has a horrible reputation, and we found out why. I think this was the same weekend that that promoter got arrested. Anyway.
Wow.
So, I would love to say that the show ended in some of the most spectacular fashion, where the front door opened and out ran a guy in a dress, a chick in a suit, a referee, a handful of fans, the cops, a midget, a goat.
Wow.
Sadly, that
sounds like a good Oprah wet dream.
It sounds like a typical Super Oprah show. Anyway, they decided to have some beer on the way home, and I should know better.
Yes.
It's a two-hour drive from Wheeling to Columbus. It turned into a three-and-a-half-hour drive because I had to stop every 20 minutes so they could pee.
At least they wasn't throwing up.
Admitted. I heard that story from Sweet Lou Roberts. The saddest part was when we finally got back to Super Oprah's house. Now, right inside the door is the bathroom. Super Oprah jumps out of the car and pees in the bushes.
That's super. Did he lift the leg or squat?
Hike the leg, hike the dress, hike the leg.
Hike the leg, hike the dress. I bet you saw more Super Oprah than you wanted to see.
I'm not going to tell. Next time you see Super Oprah, ask him about the Lucha Corps show.
All right. I'll do that.
I dare you to ask him about the Lucha Corps show, where everybody found out more about Super Oprah than any of us really wanted to know.
Super Oprah started training with me when he was 14 years old. And I knew more about Super Oprah back when he was 14 and a half than I want to know about him now. But I feel your pain.
That's scary.
That is scary. I'm still having trouble seeing out of the left eye.
Now, let me ask you a question, Bull, Dan, and this is a serious question, because I've known people who run independent shows and this, that, and the other. I'm going to throw a name out. I want to see if you've ever worked with this individual.
Sure.
A man by the name of Terry Landell. Do you know him?
No.
Okay. He's the local promoter out in Knoxville, and only reason why is he, whenever you talk to him, he claims he's worked with everybody twice. So I was wondering if, you know, he's worked with you.
Claims, and I don't know. I don't know about the rest of the world. I know a lot about indie wrestling. And claims in indie wrestling are bullshit. So many people, I met so-and-so, and they claim they knew you, or they claim that you trained them. And I'm like, who? So.
Been there, done that. Gator's very good at spinning some of those.
I trained Gator. Ask him, he'll tell you.
I'm telling
you to believe him. I'm just telling you to ask.
Well, Bull, I'm glad that you were able to drop by on our end of the year show.
Well, it's being fun. My 20 minutes of fame up.
Alas, but before you go, please. I know you want to talk a little bit about your league, and you might want to talk a little bit about your. I don't want to call it a sister league because that would be an insult to Paul.
Paul's a little funny, you know.
Oh.
But if you was married to Sandy for 20 years, 30 years, whatever, you'd probably be a little funny, too. I'm kidding. I love Paul. I love Sandy. They're good people. Sister League. That's a good term for it. I ain't exactly sure what the proper name is. Anyways, the Mighty IWA, we've been around since 1988. We're the oldest continuous wrestling promotion in Ohio. There's actually another IWA, which I believe started before us. We're the International Wrestling Alliance. They're the International Wrestling Association. But they took about a 6 or 7 year hiatus. So now we're claiming the oldest continuous. And other than that, I also think we're the best because we've had such great talent as Super Oprah, myself, of course, and Miss Heyman.
Thank you.
If you're in the area, be sure to check us out every Monday for free, or Sunday, excuse me. Free 1 and 3:30 p.m. at the Marketplace of the Americas, and you're more than welcome, Miss Heyman.
I appreciate that. If I'm in the neighborhood, I will do my level best to drop by once again. As long as Lanning's not there.
It's a short hop, skip, and a jump. It's a short hop, skip, and a jump.
That's an 800-mile hop, skip, and a jump right now, sir.
And even though it's slightly chilly here, I guarantee you it's warmer than where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm going to have to give him that. I'll have to give him that. Sir, please stay in touch because I do need to ask you a couple of questions that I can't ask on the air. And don't none of you guys take that wrong. Too late.
1 second.
There's someone else that saw Super Oprah. Hey, listen, I'm going to get out of here because I feel like I'm being rushed. I'm always happy to answer any of your questions. You know how to get a hold of me, but I got one request.
Yes, sir.
Send me a link via Facebook. And send me a link so I can check out myself on the air. How about that?
I can do that. I can.
And I hope you're not as rude to me when I replay it as what I think you've been while I've been talking.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
All right.
I
God bless you, Nikki.
Thanks so much, Bull.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Night. Bull Miller, ladies and gentlemen.
Good stuff.
Good guy.
Yeah. Well, UFC update. This is a... So, first of all, Alexander Gustafsson dropped Matyushenko at 2:13 of round one. And here, the fastest knockout ever. You say if you blinked, you missed the knockout for the Velasquez Dos Santos fight. You blinked, you missed this knockout.
For real?
Johnny Hendricks, one punch knockout to John Fitch.
My God.
What was the official time, I dare ask?
We're still waiting for it.
Oh, my God.
So quick, it made Butterbean blush.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, we're about to get it.
No, it's so short it makes Santino blush. Remember him at the Rumble?
Yeah. Oh, here's the official time.
Yes.
12 seconds.
Oh man.
Damn.
So not officially a fastest knockout in UFC history, I don't think, but still, one punch knockout in the...
You're getting your money's worth tonight, folks.
No, yeah, Mitchell almost started fighting Mazzagatti when he stepped in to stop it.
The easiest payday known to man. One punch, boom, see ya.
Hope it was worth it.
Yes.
Well, let's see.
Tip the wait. Well, what is it?
Tip the waitress.
There you go.
That's right.
Okay, I need a volunteer to step down as I'm going to be adding to the panel.
I guess I'll be that volunteer. I'll step out.
Well, now Jim, if you want to stay, I can go.
No. I'll volunteer out and I'll listen to the rest of the show.
All right, Jim.
All right, thanks so much, guys. Have a good New Year and enjoy the rest of the awards.
And Jim, thank you very much for my shirt. It looks and feels great. You did an awesome job, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Buy the shirts, bros.
I bought mine.
There you go.
Jason bought his, or
well,
I bought
I will. I will. Next year, I will.
Okay. Oh, next year. Oh, you make it. Oh, next year. Oh, I'm kidding. Happy New Year, guys. Thanks.
Happy New Year, Jim.
You need to shoot an NWO black and white t-shirt promo.
Buy the shirt.
A little handheld camera.
All right. With Jim off the board, I will bring in our international correspondent, Shane. Good evening, sir.
Greetings from the future, people. How are you going?
Hey. Well, welcome, Shane.
Thank you very much. I'm just enjoying my nice, soon to be New Year's Eve. So we'll have to wait and see what happens tonight when I'm going to get trashed after this.
Yeah. Well, we're still an hour out of the Lesnar Overeem fight, probably.
Oh, can we just state the obvious here? Lesnar's got to own him. I'm sorry, but.
My favorite John Cena quote, "He's gonna eat me."
Let's see. Actually, Brian, I know you were gonna stick around, but I might have to have you step down as well.
Okay.
Just because I gotta make room for the high muck-a-muck.
All right. Well, if you want me to send in my awards, I will. I have no problem. I understand, and I know that, you know, I was offered the first hour, and I willingly accepted it. So, guys, it's always a pleasure when we get to get together, and I will see you all next year. And please, do yourself a favor. Be good to each other. Be kind. And maybe someday you, too, can hit him with the folding chair.
There you go.
And for God's sakes, check out the Haney's at the fan board. Thank you. I'm out.
Night, Brian. Boss.
Yo.
Hey, girl.
Yo. Chief. Yeah, who day? Right?
Who day to say about the chief high muckety muck, Carl Schneer?
Oh.
But you are here at a good time, sir.
Yes, I am.
I think it might even, you know, might even be a good time. No, I'm not going to play that. While we get ourselves regathered, I know you just got here and Shane just got here, but I do have to pipe something through. You guys got a minute?
Sure. I guess. Sure.
Okay. I promise this won't take long as soon as I find it again. Where the hell is it?
The 2011 Nikki Awards, honoring the year's best and worst in professional wrestling, continues. In awards handed out prior to tonight's broadcast, the award for panelists most likely to hit someone with a folding chair and then hit them again went to Brian Henniger. The award for catchphrase most likely to make Jim Williams laugh uncontrollably went to Poopy. Sorry. And the award for excellence in four-legged contributions to the NAWC went to the cast of My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic. Here once again is your master of ceremonies and host for the 2011 Nikki Awards, Nikki Heyman.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Damn it, Jim.
Can we nominate Jim for a Lifetime Achievement Award and win?
Yes, I mean...
I think we can, because I've got to turn mine back in, because since I work for the NAWC, I'm not allowed to accept my own award.
No, but wow.
Dear. And accepting for the four-legged contribution award, Rainbow Dash.
Oh my gosh.
So, with that out of the way, we actually do need to formally get into the Nikki Awards. Now, I admit I probably wasn't very clear on how this is all set up. Let's see. Oh, I've got one more coming in. And, in fact, I did promise him to come in, and this is just going to be a very crowded table. Stat Boy, good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
And, actually, before I get into the Nikki Awards, you have some numbers for me, don't you?
Yes, I do. Nikki asked me to tabulate the full Pick'ems results amongst those who have had been in at least 6 pay-per-views this year. Now, out of all of us here at the NAWC, a total of 8 people turned in enough picks, enough times to be counted on this list. Myself, Nikki, and Jim, who all did every single pay-per-view we did this year, that'd be 11 of them. We didn't do Elimination Chamber or Bragging Rights. Carl did 9, Forth did 8, Brian, Tyler, and Ethan all did 7. That's Tyler Brown, not Typho, for those who needed to know. Now, out of this, I was able to determine the number of picks correct versus the number of picks they made in total. Maximum total was 85 points, which was what Nikki, Jim, and myself all were graded by. And everybody else was graded by the number of points they had done during their pay-per-views as well. Those ranged from 54 to 71 points. Now, I tabulated this all up, divided the number of points correct by the number of points possible, and I determined the final correct pick percentage, a.k.a. the percentage of time that someone got a pick correct in any pay-per-view. Now, Nikki, do
yes.
you want me to go ahead and fire them off?
If you would.
Right. At the bottom of our list was 4th. He correctly guessed pay-per-view picks 35.38% of the time. That is 23 picks out of 65 possible. Next up on the list is Nikki, who only got 45.88% correct, which would be or 39 out of all 85 points possible.
I'm allowed.
Sorry. Brian hit him with a folding chair, Henniger. Got 48.21% of his picks correct, or for him, 27 of 56. Jim came in 5th with 51.18% of his picks being correct, 43.5 out of 85 possible, or 43.5 points out of 85 possible. Carl came in fourth, just ahead of Jim, at 51.41%.
I didn't play that.
Or 36.5 points out of 71. In third is Ethan at 52.78%, 28.5 points out of a possible 54. Now, the top two are myself and Tyler. This one was the closest match out of all of us. And I am glad to say, with a total of 56.47%, I, the staff boy, Josh Henninger, win the Pick'ems for the year. Tyler.
That's why they call you the stat boy.
Tyler was very, very close. If he did one flush, he would have won. One.
Wow.
56.36% of his picks correct.
Holy crap.
That'd be the first one out of 55 points possible. Yeah. I barely won.
But you've lived up to your nickname, and a credit to WWE that we couldn't crack the 60th percentile, which means they must be doing something right.
Yes. Next year, I intend to crack that code and then make sure the walls are permanently broken down.
Yeah, there you go. X plus 1 equals Y, yes.
Yes.
The code is the answer.
The answer
is
the code.
Jinx?
Now you order a beer. Congratulations.
You can pay me in Diet Dew, Jason. Anyway. Okay. Now this is fairly free form, and I'm guessing that we're gonna get a couple of sweeps, but previously I listed a handful of categories on the NAWC page, so you guys had had a week or two to think about who you would put in these positions. I'll simply just throw mine out there, and we'll see where everybody else hits. So I'm just going to start. I'll start at the top with the WWE Wrestler of the Year, which to me, hands down, is CM effing Punk. This man's put the entire league on his shoulder somewhere over the summer, despite having one foot out the door, and has made the show much, much more interesting.
Not only that, I will agree with you that the Wrestler of the Year is CM Punk, because I rewatched the June 27th promo. That was the era of Punk began then. But, you know, nobody expected. But the brilliance of it was to have him win the title on July 17th at the Money in the Bank in the second best match of 2011, which I'll get to later, leave and then show up at Comic-Con. And if how many people remember during the summer when that video broke on YouTube?
Oh, my goodness.
You know, the Internet exploded. And with all that and his beautiful promos and shoot promos, worked promos, and the fact that he is now the workhorse of the WWE... It's been brilliant, and it is so great to see him at the top of the charts.
Let's see. Carl, you got anybody in mind?
Pretty much all the same reasons Jason just laid out right there. It is Punk.
Shane, I'm guessing you might agree.
Yeah, definitely. You cannot deny CM Punk this. I mean, he's been spectacular all year. And people have said he's actually even helped people get pushes in the company. So you can't help but deny CM Punk's definitely Wrestler of the Year.
VRM, I know you haven't been a frequent watcher, but...
Yeah, honestly, you can't give it to anybody except for Punk. I mean... Look at what he's done just in his last 6 months. forget about the new Nexus. Forget about the end of the of SES. Or actually, it was last year. Forget about the new Nexus. Just look at the last 6 months of WWE programming and how much he's done. How many amazing promos. Just the mic work alone. And probably the thing that sticks out the most that in my mind that we still have not gotten yet.
There we go. Say it. Preach it.
We want ice cream.
We do. We do. Where are our ice cream bars? To the point that he's gotten a t-shirt out of it and the TLC poster. Lucky duck, Typho.
I mean, there's no one even anywhere close to CM Punk. It can't be anyone else. The only person that I would put in the conversation, in my opinion, would be R-Truth, just because I think he's been outstanding this year.
I'm going to get him an award later on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, his promo work, his actions, and some of the craziness that he was doing around the same time and a little bit before were just mind-blowing. I was going to attempt TNA Wrestler of the Year, but I haven't been watching TNA. So does anybody want to throw any names out?
Yeah, and I will give it. And it's a combination of Beer Money, James Storm, and Bobby Roode. Those two have actually made a main event storyline, even though it's been very convoluted. But the two best tag wrestlers in WWE have become high-end singles, in TNA rather, they have become very good singles wrestlers in TNA.
Agreed.
I don't feel like, since I haven't watched, I really couldn't form an opinion. I mean, these guys were put in a great spot, even though there was some kind of shady booking in the process. But I'm glad to see that they are finally in the main event, although sometimes I wonder if it was just a knee-jerk reaction to keep them with the company, since the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, really, really, really wants them to come up north. But I digress. Do we even have a Diva of the Year?
Yeah.
You
yes,
want to know
we
what?
Do.
I do.
We got Stat Boy.
I got one too.
Well, it's pretty much the most obvious of the. Even though she hasn't been exactly used great this year, it's better than most. Beth Phoenix, the Glamazon. Yeah.
I would love to give it to her, but I just after some of the promos and the way that she and Natalya have been booked over the last 4 or 5 months.
Oh.
I love her wrestling. I love her look. Except for the frickin' roller derby skirts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna give it to you somebody totally different, and you're gonna think I'm nuts. It's Karma.
No. I'd throw that out there because she created buzz.
For the 6 weeks that she was out there before, you know, the man with the wiggly tail knocked on the door and got in, you know. She
very tasteful. Go on.
You know, she was on a roll to become a dominant diva and a dominant bull, and they were going to get the Karma versus Beth Phoenix match that we're going to get in 2012, we hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought it was great.
And she created enough of a buzz that the week before she went away, I had gotten in a very intense discussion with somebody that they didn't think it was realistic that she should just flop down in the middle of the ring and start crying. And I said, okay, wait a minute. Karma's a crazy bitch. Why wouldn't she? Well, that's not her character. And I said, quit using her TNA character. That's not what we have. You've got to look at the establishing of her WWE character. I bold-faced it, and it still was going over his head. But when Karma...
She's actually still creating buzz. I don't know if anyone else has heard about this, but Karma has actually put out a video
Yeah, I've seen it.
I have not.
It's on WrestleChat.
Yeah, she's put out a YouTube video, and this is, and everyone's speculating that this is a teaser that she's going to be returning at WrestleMania.
I'll take that.
I just liked it when she kicked Santa Claus in the head. And said, and to all a good night. Like, ouch.
Brilliant. Let's see. Now, you guys are all going to laugh, but I did put out their tag team of the year. Do we have any tag teams that we can talk about?
Plenty, actually. And a lot of them are in Ring of Honor. You could talk about, early on, the Kings of Wrestling. You could talk about the All Night Express, Rhett Titus and Kenny King. You could also talk about the world's greatest tag team, Haas and Benjamin. Okay?
All
of them have had amazing matches. And, of course, the return of the Young Bucks, Generation Me, in there.
Mm-hmm.
Ring of Honor has gotten spectacular tag team division out there. Also, my Wrestler of the Year, by the way, in Ring of Honor, goes to two people. It goes to Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards. Okay. Those people have put on some incredible matches and had a rivalry this year that has been overshadowed by pretty much everything. But they have been putting on some amazing, amazing matches around the
country. As somebody who's seen Davey Richards work in person, I would definitely back that. Davey Richards is a legitimate badass, somebody you do not screw with in any wrestling capacity. And that includes you, Ian Rotten, for almost having him hurt himself with your freaking ring. Anyway, I don't think I want to tell that story. Anybody who wants to hear it can come talk to me in archive. Any other suggestions, volunteers, thoughts?
Well, you can't really say anyone in WWE because WWE has a lack of tag team divisions.
And there was some promise early on. There was some thought about it. Once they got Air Boom together, then there was Awesome Truth, and, you know, there was...
Yeah, but exactly. So if you were going to do WWE, you would say, of course, Air Boom, okay?
Well, yeah.
TNA, okay, if you're going to do TNA, if we're going out through all of 2011, then you'd clearly say Gear Money.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's a shame. I really was hoping that WWE was actually going to get their tag team thing together. I wonder if the whole Kings of Wrestling deal and the Chris Hero debacle has kind of put that on hold. I don't know.
Okay. But you also have the problem with FCW not working out to WWE's potential and TNA taking over OVW late this year. What was it, October?
Mm-hmm.
September, October.
And I had something. Speaking of OVW, just a quick news bit. And, of course, my computer doesn't want to show it to me. Button. Who's got the button? It was a note sent pretty much to me. Thank you, Tyler Brown. That Kenny Bolin, manager to the Stars, longtime OVW manager, has finally talked his son into quote unquote taking over the business, and is apparently a very effective heel in OVW. So I hope that means bigger and better things for him. I've met Bolin's son. He's actually a pretty nice guy. And probably a very effective heel since he's learned so much from his dad. Oh. Let's see. My favorite category. The holy shit moment of the year. And I'm not stealing it from WWE because I've used that even before they did. Essentially, what one moment this year made your jaw hit the floor? If you could not get the words holy shit out of your mouth because it was that big of a holy shit moment.
I'll give you one easy, and it's not what you think. We can all talk about the June 27th promo all you want. But the biggest holy shit moment of the year happened when I found out that Edge was retiring, actually.
I put that in another category. We'll get there.
Okay, well, that's for me.
Okay.
I thought you were going to say Lillian Garcia resigned.
No, he could still talk. He just stepped on his tongue in the process.
Hey, now. No, but seriously, for me, it was that moment, because it was just like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, what do you have in mind?
Well, my holy shit moment you just mentioned was Punk's shoot in Vegas, because Punk broke all the rules of cutting a promo. You don't mention people who don't work for the company. You don't mention other wrestling leagues. You can make fun of your boss, but you shouldn't make fun of the game. And Punk did this in a matter of 5 minutes.
And when he said there were so many different lines that we can analyze. Like, the company would be better off dead, better off if Vince McMahon is dead, but then it would be taken over by her idiot daughter and goofy son-in-law.
I forgot what he called his idiot daughter and his doofus son-in-law.
Yes, exactly.
That's my term, Vicari. I'm doofus. Anyway, the line, I'm a Paul Heyman guy, of course, killed me.
Yes.
Carl, you got one?
I'd have to probably put a tie between Edge's retiring and that.
Yeah.
Maybe leaning more towards the Edge retiring, because it's like, huh? Wow.
All right. Step one.
Huh? Well, it's too obvious for me. Holy shit, moment of the year. Punk 627. Breaking the fourth wall.
Mm. Yeah.
Hey, Colt Cabana, how are you doing?
Oh, God, yes.
That was another big one. VRM, you got one?
Well, yeah, I'm going to agree with the consensus on Punk 627, but a honorable mention, if you were one of the 10,000 people in attendance at the St. Pete Times Forum for Extreme Rules 2011, and you heard it from Cena's mouth.
Ah, yes.
Oh,
the fact that Bin Laden was dead. That's right.
Yes, because Mr. Block, blew up my phone about it right after the pay-per-view ended.
Yeah, I was just like, what? Yeah, I did. I turned
on the baseball game, the Mets Phillies game,
uh-huh.
And all I heard was USA, USA, and I'm like, what's going on? Why is everyone chanting USA? I look back in the stream, in the one chat room I go into, and everyone's talking about Bin Laden's dead, and it's being reported on all the damn major news sites. And then the next day we get a video package of what happened after Extreme Rules went off the air, where Cena stays out and makes the announcement.
So, did I miss anybody?
I think Shane needs to, I thought.
I'll just say, the promo of CM Punk, definitely. If I was going to throw another one, but this is a personal one of mine.
Okay.
If I was going to throw in another one, it would be a TNA one. I do believe it was done this year. Mickey James versus Victoria in a steel cage match, and Mickey James launching herself off the top of the cage onto Victoria. That, for me, was a holy shit moment, but nevertheless.
Yeah.
Now, here's why I held off on the Edge retirement, because there's another side to this. There's the oh shit moment. Facepalm, Groanworthy, or Fox Sports has a thing on their football program called Come On, Man.
No, that's Monday NFL Countdown.
My bad.
Let me do my best DJ impersonation. Come on, man.
Now, to be honest, you know, I put the Edge retirement there because I was just complete, you know, it was, oh, shit. Because he was such an integral part of SmackDown. Despite, you know, despite the fact that he, you know, he had been on and off with injuries leading up to this, but the oh shit of it, the fact that they were thinking of putting him in a ladder match, and what could have come of that if they had not continued testing and found the stenosis. Just scared me to think of that consequence. That's why I can. That's my oh shit.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my oh shit moment of the year was a storyline decision, and it really bothered me. This was after your Extreme Rules pay per view, Mr. VRM. The Extreme Rules, where Christian wins the title.
Yay.
And then gets it off of him for 5 days. 2 days, you know, at the taping 2 days later, they put it on Randy freaking Orton. No trust in Christian whatsoever. That was one of those groan-worthy moments for me. I mean, we could always talk about, I mean, I'm just throwing some other things, you know,
mm-hmm.
so many different videos that the Hardys posted this year. Including one that I could think of where I believe it was Jeff Hardy or Matt Hardy tasing Reeby Sky.
I believe that was Matt.
That was probably Matt.
You know,
before
he went into rehab for the billionth time.
Well, the oh shit out of that mess to me was the suicide video.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that happened this year too. Oh my God! Right.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Carl, you got one?
That's about it there, yeah.
VRM.
Yeah, all right, I got one. I mentioned this a couple. We dropped this into room 101 a couple weeks back on the 200th episode. But Hogan flexing his creative control muscle.
Oh.
3 hours before the pay-per-view is supposed to go on the air.
Oh, right. This was during Bound for Glory, right?
Yeah, when they hot-shotted and made the change for the TNA World Heavyweight title match hours before the pay-per-view went on the air because Hogan didn't think Rude could do through the dirt.
To that, I think, come on, man.
Another one, though, is another stereotype was Lesnar's second bout at the time of the United.
Yeah. We've got some horrible echo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Typho, you still here?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you got one?
Yeah, I would throw in from Extreme Rules, Brodus Clay getting busted up so bad during the ladder match.
Yeah.
Where he was just kind of laying in a pool by the end of it.
I remember that. I didn't even see what caused it. I don't think did we see what happened, how it happened to him on camera? Because I don't remember. All I remember is him face down.
I think it's when he got up on the apron and Christian had the ladder like over his head and he spun and rammed it into him to knock him off the apron, and I think it just caught him on the top of the head and just sliced him.
Shane, you got one?
Most groan-worthy moment. The only shit moment I've got would have to be Edge's thing. Groan-worthy would definitely have to be the Bobby Roode thing from Bound for Glory. That was just ridiculous.
Herb D try to be funny. But at this time, if you can touch gloves, they start backing away or not.
Actually, if I got to throw something in groan-worthy, It would have to be the reversed decision on the Cole Lawler fight at WrestleMania that caused the stupid feud to go on for another 3 months. But I don't want to give Michael Cole anything.
No. I mean, he put enough groan-worthy moments. I mean, Hambone made enough...
Sorry, I said it too.
You know, it's okay. He had enough groan-worthy moments in a, you know, in a year. And especially also, specifically, you know, making the Bell's palsy joke, excuse me, a few weeks back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's... It's just unbelievable some of the things he has gotten away with.
Yeah, so how about a special tribute for him? If he's up on WrestleCraft.com for Gooker, you know he's going to get it. I handed him the Gooker in February. No, I'm sorry. I handed him the Gooker right after WrestleMania. Nobody else has come close. Not even Victory Road.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Victor, that was another groan-worthy moment. Didn't that happen this year where Jeff was
yes.
so on?
Oh.
Just out of mind and thing happened. Pretty much sit on him to keep him down for the moment. And agreeing with the crowd on his way out on camera. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, wow.
So.
I think you could classify that as as another oh shit moment. Like a 50 plus year old Sting wins the title in 3 seconds flat. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, what happened?
And then you find out in the reports, oh, it was because Jeff Hardy was so fucked up that they decided, let's strip the title off him right now.
I just can't figure out why anybody even thought it was, you know, it was worth having him come out. I just don't get it.
I don't know. And the fact is, and the sad part about it is TNA's plans for 2012 have him in it again. So...
I've got my opinion on that.
Bullshit.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, let's see. Now, I've got a couple of other categories, but we've, you know.
Oh, Nikki, you're doing it again.
Who was? Am I skipping people?
Yes, you are.
I'm sorry, Stat Boy.
A shame, though, that my thunder got so thoroughly stolen, though, before I could even get to it.
My apologies. Do you have you have something apparently?
Well, unfortunately, you guys have already discussed it at length. It's the Hardys.
Yeah, that's true. Hardys everything pretty much this year.
Yeah. Next.
I'm sorry, Stat Boy.
And one more that I want to just add one more real quick. Six letters. GSPACL.
Well, we could also talk about holy shit moment. The big UFC on Fox debut debacle. Remember?
Whoops.
You know, as Brian said earlier, Dana White was going, oh, crap, we got to stretch.
and one more from UFC. What was his name? The guy who fought Jose Aldo with the freaking alien growth coming out of his forehead.
Oh, I've seen that picture. I don't remember his name, but that was freaking gross.
Yeah, and an arm got broken recently, too. But, yeah, but, oh, God. So you said you had a couple more categories?
Well, let's see. What else have I got here?
Heel of the Year.
I can do Heel of the Year. And actually, for my money, I felt the heel this year was R-Truth because it was so out of nowhere. Crazy, thinking he's seeing little Jimmy R-Truth was some of the most entertaining heeldom I've seen. And I never thought this man could be a heel. I really didn't. So, Stat Boy, since I've fighted you so many times, who you got?
For heel of the year?
Yeah.
Well, I'm hearing horrible echo, first off.
I think I know how to fix that. Let me hit a button. There we go.
There
try that.
Yes. As for my heel of the year, it's got to be the guy who's now starting to come up in the world. The guy who's going to be wrestling for the WWE title here Monday. Dolph Ziggler. Because at the start of the year, he was still kind of in the mid-card, kind of like, is he going to make it? Is he not? And he came through in spades.
He was the world heavyweight champion for a few minutes.
5 to 7 minutes. That's not really much of a reign.
So
now, the only thing that could pretty much kill him at this point is if Vicky stays around for too much longer. That's the only thing that could hurt right now.
I disagree totally. I think Vicky, as the manager of the heel champ, would make her stock rise immensely.
I understand where you're coming from, Jason, but I really want to see Vicky retire and spend time with her kids.
Okay.
Well, don't forget one's in
Yeah, one's in FCW. Florida. Raquel Diaz, Shal Marie Guerrero.
She could spend time with her when she gets called up to the roster.
So, Typho, you got a heel?
I'm definitely would be R-Truth. I loved his heel run early on in TNA, like 2002, when he won the NWA World Title, and I didn't really think he could top that, but he did by a great amount this year. And actually, one of my favorite moments of the year was the promo he did at SummerSlam with Jimmy Hart.
Mhm. I got you there, Carl. Who you got?
Okay, I'm going to go with a not obvious one. I'm going to go with someone who actually can play a heel role to the T. What are you doing there? That was horrible.
That was horrible. Who were you trying to do?
Johnny Ace.
Oh, good choice.
And more obvious than you think. Like I explained, I had to explain to somebody. Laurinaitis gets it as a heel because he plays that one middle manager in your office that you know only got his job because he's a freaking yes man.
He's you lumber. Know.
And it helps that the internet has known that since 2002.
Yeah.
So exactly, because the best truth, the best character comes from truth.
Yes, and not just Mr. Killings.
Nope.
The best character is you with the volume turned all the way up. Or to 11, whichever comes first. Let's see. Who'd I miss?
Me. And
me.
And you know what, VRM, you go first, because I have two different other people that have nothing
to
do with it.
Yeah, I might be taking one of them, because I'm going to be going with the awesome one. Since he actually was in the main event at WrestleMania, number one, and he's been pretty much stuck around in the main event in there, he did get to basically, he got single-handedly Wellness Hammer Truth, and then slammed Jomo into the stage logo so hard it knocked him out of the company. And then of course, because you can't have awesome truth without awesome. So yeah, I gotta go with the Miz.
All right. Jason, you said you had two.
I have two, and they have not been mentioned yet.
All right.
The first one is Mr. Bagman himself, Cody Rhodes. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Cody Rhodes has gone from psycho bad guy from the distortion with the freedom of the mask to just psycho. And he has complemented that with incredibly good work rate. And the second one is one Mr. Mark Henry, who no one has mentioned.
Which, shame on us.
Okay. What?
For not mentioning Mark Henry.
Because Mark Henry turned a career achievement award, which was what the awarding of the belt was, by the way, into one of the best heel runs of 2011 with the Hall of Pain. His work rate and his matches with Randy Orton have been nothing short of spectacular, and his build as a monster heel has been nothing short of excellent.
So, Shane, I apologize. I've popped you on and off here a bit because your signal seems to be is partially causing that echo.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, and that really bugs me because people keep saying, oh, you're the one with the echo and things like that, and it's fucking me. But yeah, I've had to agree with, there's so many people here, I can't remember what it was. But whoever, I made my vote very early in the show. I said, heel of the year, I'd have to say Johnny Laurinaitis, because he's really grown with his role and everything else. And I'm sorry, but what he did this past week, that was just priceless. That was good shit.
That is the beautiful subtleness.
Whoa! And Nate Diaz flipping, wow.
What happened?
Uncensored double bird on UFC.
Uh-oh.
Sweet.
Nate Diaz just double birded Donald Cerrone uncensored before the start of the third round.
Oh, jeez. Wow. Whoops. But Johnny Laurinaitis, you're right. Everyone was just like, you know, he's the douchebag of the year, but his subtlety is what makes the heel thing so work. As you put it so great, Nikki, the middle management douchebag who got his role because he kissed his ass.
Yes, because Hunter doesn't kiss any ass, and he's got a hell of a job. I miss him as COO on camera, by the way. Mr. Laurinaitis shows you how to be a heel that you can love to hate instead of just hate Mr. Hambone.
It's the separation between heel heat and X-Pac heat.
Thank you. Heel heat or mute heat, heel heat or change the channel heat.
At least they don't have Rob Conway heat.
That's true. The worst thing in the wrestling business is silence.
Mm-hmm. The Conway pop.
Of course, they were just in awe because they were just looking at him like the theme song said.
Well, actually, it wasn't a bad view. Anyway, let's see. I think I got everybody that time. We did face of the year. We did heel of the year. Now,
we also did match of the year.
And that's a tough one for me because I'm torn between some of the stuff, some of Jomo's pre-WrestleMania work, including the Raw Elimination Chamber, his Falls Count Anywhere match with Miz on January 3rd, some of the fun stuff we've seen with Punk and Cena. And Christian Del Rio, their ladder match from Extreme Rules. Those are the ones I'll throw out there. What do you got, Jason?
I've got none of those, actually, believe it or not. My match of the year, I attended live. This was in June of 2011, and it was not a WWE card. It was a Ring of Honor card. This was Best of the World 2011, Davey Richards, Eddie Edwards, for the ROH heavyweight title. 45 minutes of stiff, brutal, unbelievable wrestling action that was pretty much blow-away stuff. This is where I believe Eddie Edwards won the title and won it for the first time. And this was just, when Eddie won it, it was, we were watching it, and we, as the people, I walked up and paid $10 to see this match. You must, if you do not have it on DVD, buy it. Best of the World 2011, Eddie Edwards, Davey Richards won. Plain and simple.
Typho, you got one?
I would say Eddie Edwards' title win also would probably be my match of the year, but I'll throw out another one that just got mentioned. That would be the match at the Royal Rumble between Edge and Dolph Ziggler.
Okay. That's an interesting choice. Why do you pick that one?
Well, it was one of those things going in, you know, they only announced like two matches plus the Rumble. I don't count the Divas title match because you knew it would be a minute and a half anyway, but you knew somebody was going to have to pick up the slack and fill time, and they did a very good job at it, I felt. It's a match. I mean, I have the DVD, and most Royal Rumble DVDs, I'll, like, pop it in and watch the Rumble match, and that's it. But with that one, I really loved that match, and I thought they did a great job with the larger-than-usual amount of time they were given.
All right. Let's see. Jane, let me pop you in here for a second. Match of the year, what do you got?
Let's see. Match of the year, if I had to go with... okay, I've got two, and one of them is pretty predictable because it keeps getting brought up, but I personally liked it because it was a really great match. Taker versus Triple H 2 at WrestleMania.
Great match, by the way. Great match.
That was a really great match. We saw a lot of anticipation, especially with that Triple H tombstone. That was fucking priceless.
Oh, that was brilliant.
That and Randy Orton versus Cody Rhodes, because that for me was Cody Rhodes' shining moment there. He really showed good ring skills with his match with Orton, and he's improved a lot since his whole feud with Orton, so that's my take.
Okay, Statboy, what do you got?
Well, it's probably time to bring out the obvious. The one that broke, well, has it already been brought out and I just didn't pay attention? The one that broke Meltzer's scale again?
Ooh. Which one would that be?
The one that got 5 of them. Stars. Yeah, the Cena Punk match, Money in the Bank.
Which, whoever thought that Cena would ever get 5 stars out of Meltzer?
Yeah, because I was at the, the local Blast area at that time. And it was pretty divisive between the Cena fans and the
wrestling
Punk
fans.
The wrestling fans. Yeah, you could pretty much tell it. And it was going back and forth all throughout the match. When Punk won, my jaw was on the ground. I was absolutely flabbergasted.
The beauty of that, though, is that Cena showed he can wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
The opening part of that match where they got the "you can't wrestle" chant, and Punk points to himself, like there was like no, I was like no. He was like, oh, hit it, yes, like okay, good.
And you know, this is why I would like to just bury Punk Awards, because he does so much stuff right. His expressions, just the goofiness he does in the middle of the matches. Come on, just jumping off the roof, screaming, "I'm flying!"
And, of course, it's clobbering time. And, excuse me, when that strain of Cult of Personality, when he came back in August of 2011, I'm sorry, like late July 2011, everyone was going, what the, whose music is this? You know?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Oh.
Carl,
those of us that knew were on our feet.
Yes. And when I saw punk come through, my jaw was on the floor. There was a moment of protest. You came back too soon. But I missed you, man. So, Carl, do you have one? Or did I already talk to you?
No, you haven't.
Match of the year.
1 second. All right. Well, by default, if you can put your name on the likes of people like Shawn Michaels, The Undertaker, Bret Hart, Steve Austin, Owen Hart, and Razor Ramon for 5 stars, there you go. It's got to be Cena Punk.
I can't blame you. Like I said, that was an awesome match, awesome ending, the right ending. And the lesson ensued.
Nobody picked Cole Waller from WrestleMania?
Fuck you!
Go to hell. Go to hell and die.
Admit it. I'm an asshole.
I believe that is exactly right in the case of Tavo.
No, but there's also one other response to that one. you know?
Just one moment.
Yeah.
Derp.
Oh. That's not what you meant.
Yeah.
You meant
bullshit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh God.
I realize it's an electronic button, but I'm going to wear it out anyway.
Question:
Are we going to have archives since it's a 2-hour or no? Or are they going to kick us right off?
That's true. Carl, do we get archive anyway?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So we will have Lesnar. We'll have Lesnar over in an archive update on Diaz, Cerrone, Diaz pulls it out in a fight that they just went to war on each other, but Diaz pulls it out 30-27,
30-27, 29-28.
Wow.
So I'm going to call personal awards. Essentially, if there's something that we haven't covered that you want to throw an award out for. So
I don't get to choose my match.
I'm sorry, VRM, you're right. Please, match of the year.
Match of the year. Well, for wrestling match of the year, I got to go with the Punk Cena for Money in the Bank. But I'm going to toss in another match of the year, UFC match of the year. I got to go back to UFC 128 or 129. It's 129. UFC 129. The main event was George St. Pierre and Dick Shields in a boring match. But I gotta go. The match before that, the co-main event, Jose Aldo versus Mark Hominick. That's his name, Mark Hominick. Where Hominick gets his nasty egg, and yet he still fights through it all the way into the fifth round and almost wins the fight and the title.
That's crazy. But yeah, that goose egg. I've seen that picture, and that still freaks the crap out of me. So let's see, because we're going to be gliding into the archive, and I still have one other stream of awards. Like I said, I want to do personal awards. You know, you guys got a minute here where you can sit and think of, you know, I want to throw a trophy at, and not in the wrestling sense of the word, not throw. Literally throw it at him and see if he can get himself knocked the heck out. Just something else that you want to put out there.
I actually want to start with one. This one is the We Need More Competition Award. And this goes to Ring of Honor for actually getting a TV deal with Sinclair. This is, it may not come to fruition right away, but the fact that Ring of Honor has got a TV deal, a weekly TV deal, and is starting to get a reputation, this may be 2012 or 2013. This may be more of a success than the WWE Network may be.
Now that we're in archive.
I got something.
Oh, okay, Carl Crow trophy at something.
I have a personal Alex Trebek trophy.
Okay.
Jason will get the reference.
Okay.
It goes to Hambone.
Tinkerbell!
I get it too, don't you worry.
Oh my goodness, I don't. Somebody will have to explain it to me later.
Hambone.
Well, I mean, why specifically for that? Call.
Because he's a doofus.
Oh, okay, fine.
I use a different D word in his case.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dickus Rungus. Okay.
Damn!
Okay. I need a shower after that one. Oh, jeez.
Sorry.
Heck, even I've got an award to throw at someone.
Go for it.
And it's pretty much one of the bigger ones. It's, how do I put this? The feel-good story of the year.
Okay.
But not in the terms of overcoming. Well, in the terms of overcoming, yes, but not physically.
All right.
Being able to more or less put the link to the fans. And there's about 10 million reasons why. Long Island, I see. Zach Ryder.
Yeah, you see, that's...
45 weeks ago, started a show that would either make him or make him fired. And guess what? It worked. It worked in spades. It got Ryder from curtain jerking to solid mid-carder. Now, would you say that at January 1st of this year that Zack Ryder would wind up in the spot he is now? I don't think anyone would.
I figured he'd have been out the door after WrestleMania.
Yeah. So
he
would have.
Yeah, I would have thought he'd be spring cleaned.
But he wasn't. They took a chance. And because of guys like Ryder, they started this whole tech revolution that really has kicked WWE quite hard as of late, even though they have been overusing Twitter too much.
Oh, yeah. But
despite that, that's just the fact that they're doing it right. TNA still isn't doing it correctly.
Right.
It takes, according to my buddy Mikey, it takes TNA 90 minutes to get one thing to trend.
Yeah.
On the show.
And all they want you to do is follow Dixie Carter.
Uh-huh.
And I
think the better idea would be follow TNA creative.
I have some good stuff about that. See, well, I've got you unmuted, Jane. Do you want to throw a trophy at somebody?
Yeah, I've got a trophy to throw at somebody. The person that keeps blocking me awards, Miss Nikki Hayman. No, I'm...
Hey!
Bazinga!
Accept awards. I work for company.
Oh, okay. Well, we can't give an award to Carl then? Sorry, Carl. I don't really have any awards, but I did want to bring up the... talk about what was just brought up then, the whole Zack Ryder story. Yeah, it's good that WWE is actually on the right track now, well, back to being on the right track, that they're letting these guys like Ted DiBiase and Zack Ryder and Daniel Bryan get a shot at things like for coming up with their own ideas. If you get what I mean, like with Zack Ryder with his whole
internet trials,
yeah, with his own True Iron stories, and Ted DiBiase is getting a push because of the whole DiBiase posse, and CM Punk obviously getting the push because of his ice cream bar talk and everything else, and Daniel Bryan, that's the person I was referring to on the show, by the way, who's the person who's gotten a push, one of the two people that have gotten pushes because of CM Punk's input, Daniel Bryan.
can keep you unmuted because it actually seems to be calming down a bit. All right, who else wants to throw a trophy?
You said that people work for the company can't accept awards. I still want to throw the Lifetime Achievement Award to Jim for all the win he makes at the start of the show.
I think I can throw some win at him.
I had another one that I was just thinking of.
I didn't mean to distract you.
I forgot already. Shit.
I'm going to throw one out there that's kind of personal to me. I'm throwing a double geek trophy at Cody Rhodes.
Okay.
And I think I told the story on the show after it happened, but if I didn't, I've got to tell this anyway. We all know that Cody Rhodes is a huge Legend of Zelda fan.
Mm-hmm.
And just about the time of his heel turn, up to before he turned fully crazy heel, he had Triforce logos on his boots. So just for shiggles, I went to an autograph session in Grove City. This was when I was still in Ohio. I had bought a hat with a logo from Legend of Zelda on it that I thought he'd really appreciate. And he was very gracious for accepting the gift and asked him about those Triforce logos on his boots. I noticed they had gone away. I said, is that because of the shift in character? And he said, no. Believe it or not, I got a cease and desist letter from Nintendo.
Back at dicks.
No, that's hilarious.
Wow. I've never heard anything so funny. So, huge double geek trophy in Cody Rhodes' direction. Because that's freaking awesome. Somebody at the video game companies are paying that much attention.
Well, I mean, again, what's amazing is that you've had so much double geekery, and the fact that so many of the wrestlers now use Twitter to their advantage in the right way,
mm-hmm.
and the WWE with its fake trending and all that. But these last 6 months have been an incredible use of technology and social media.
So let's throw all logos on the internet title at WWE for finally getting it. I really think what had happened is whoever they hired, they I think replaced somebody in their social media department who actually either knew what was going on or gave a shit. And got all that moving, because they had to. They absolutely had to. There's just so much that they can do with this.
I have one. What is the one thing that we're going to see in 2012? Just give us like something like who's going to be a belt holder, or we're going to some sort of wacky prediction. How's that?
Yeah, one crazy prediction for 2012. I mean, don't go with the easy ones, guys.
Oh no,
right, what do you got?
I've got something disastrously horrible that I'm not going to say.
Oh, dear God.
Don't even think about it.
Yeah.
I already know the answer to that.
Ninja, please! Hell no!
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you know where I'm going.
I'll give you one.
All right.
I'm going to give you one that might be out of the... I think the WWE Network is going to be an absolute bomb. I really do. I think they're throwing $200 million at something that they don't know what to do with yet.
Yet. Although they're doing something pretty smart by putting a lot of their non-Big Four pay-per-views on that channel for steady income. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And B-Show.
Jason,
Capital
Jason,
Punishment.
Jason, question about that. How long was it after you made the that prediction earlier in the year that about Peyton Manning before they found out that he wasn't playing for basically the rest of the
entire
season?
That was July. That was even before training camp started.
Yeah, he did that in July.
That's 2 months, so you're giving him to March 2nd.
No. First of all, number one, the network doesn't even start till April 1st, 2012.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm just saying to you that it's not going to be the out-and-out sex. It's going to have a lot of trouble, especially in this economy, when you're going to need clearances, you're going to need all this stuff, you're going to have a lot of promotion. And I think there's going to be this is going to be one of the biggest stories of the year, because USA is going to be pissed off at this relationship. You know this. The USA and Sci-Fi and the Universal people aren't going to be happy about this.
Yeah, but they've got one huge shot in the arm to get this network working. You know who else is tied into NBC Universal?
Who's that?
Comcast.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Comcast
need the top
is majority
four,
owner.
Three or four cable people and the satellite people to get on board ASAP.
Yeah. See, I haven't heard anything from Dish.
You need DirecTV, you need this, you need Comcast, you need Time Warner, UVerse, et cetera, et cetera. That's who you need to pull this together
mm-hmm.
quick.
Yeah,
but they've
yeah.
got Comcast under course, so it's not gonna bomb right away. Let's see, what have I got?
Oh, and files also.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I just got one in my mind, a lot better one. And it's
okay,
stop more point. Vague than horrible, horrible things. Anyway, one of the big stars in the WWE will be quitting by the end of next year.
And that would be?
I know that's generic.
Okay, you don't have a name.
No, but
that's...
whose contracts are up next year should be the better question.
Well, I mean, no, but I'm just, what I'm asking is
yeah.
that, you want to throw a name?
Sure. I'll throw a name. Daniel Bryan.
Ooh!
Wow.
How do you figure that?
Well, I'm not terribly certain, but, well, damn. I don't know.
Actually, no, I've got my prediction.
Though, mine probably failed.
That's all right. I think the door hasn't closed on Chris Hero yet. We will have the Kings of Wrestling as part of a tag team division after WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I got one. Go ahead, Vera.
All right. We're going off the air in 2011, it's New Year's Eve 2011 now.
Yeah.
Over
New
there,
Year's
yeah.
Eve 2012. On New Year's Eve 2012, as we get ready to start 2013, Zack Ryder will have a world title.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Whoa.
This seems more logical to me.
Actually,
why not?
Logical, yeah. That's ballsy. I don't think is his stock going to rise that fast?
We'll see. Shane,
if they were smart enough, they will see that during his fan reaction.
So, I know that I screwed up the audio here, but Shane, do you have a prediction for 2012?
I've got my top five for 2012 already.
All right.
I'll start from the bottom because these ones are just gonna like bottom ones are predictable ones. Top one is just it's a hopeful. Okay, number five Taker will retire this year.
Okay.
2012.
I got a follow up to that after.
Go ahead. Okay, Carl. Go ahead, Shane.
Actually, we're going to see a couple of retirements this year. Number four, we're going to see, Goldust win That's right. Win in the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania this year. And he's got and he'll retire that exact same night. And he'll go out on a high, pretty much.
Alright.
Here we go. By the way, this is about to get underway. Alistair Overeem, Brock Lesnar, the main event. And if you don't know about the new rules, ever since UFC 135, 138, all main event matches, even if they're not title matches, are five rounds.
Okay.
Okay.
Go on, Shane.
Let's see. Number three, I'm predicting, like I said, these top three are hopefuls. There'll be a boost in tag teams in 2012. We'll see the return of good tag team wrestling. Number two, we will most likely... I'm going to say... Cody Rhodes for World Heavyweight Champion.
I'll back when, that.
When, I do not know. I'm predicting mid-next year, you'll see Cody Rhodes as World Heavyweight Champion. And number one, and this one's a bit of a stretch, but I'm going to say we're going to see... We're going to say Wade Barrett as a WWE champion.
I'll back that.
That may happen sooner than we think.
Yeah, they find something for him without Orton, yeah.
Well, they have him win the Rumble.
Oh, wait.
Carl, you got to follow up on the Undertaker thing.
We most expect Undertaker to retire. I'm going to say this, so will Kane.
Lesnar's rocked a little bit.
I figure this little rebirth here is his final run. That's just my thinking.
Get this all cleaned up a little bit. All right, Shane. I've got a hope prediction that there will be huge shakeups at the announce table. And first, I'd like that shakeup to be somebody grabbing Hambone by the lapels and shaking him unconscious.
Ooh! Brock is getting hit hard here. And wait a minute. Brock is finished.
What? Whoa!
I'm sorry, I might have a bad connection my end. I could have sworn I just heard Brock Lesnar is done.
And I muted you just for that because I knew you were just as baffled. Run that by me one more time, VRM.
Brock Lesnar finished in the first round.
Oh, boy.
Here's the pin. Here's the flash. You know it comes next.
Lesnar got knocked out in the first round. Nope. Lesnar Undertaker, WrestleMania 28, mark it.
Shazam!
Yeah, I'll throw him out. My 2012 prediction, Brock Lesnar returns to WWE.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Sounds like it. What happened?
Yeah. And then a pickup with great Bubba Lashley back in WWE as well.
VRM, could you describe what happened, please? What happened?
Lesnar got kicked in the gut. He took an ankle to the gut, and he buckled and turtled. And then Overeem just jumped on. Yeah, because Overeem was targeting Brock's midsection.
Smart.
Very.
That's all you need to do.
Yeah, a couple knees, a couple kicks. He got a nasty one that, like I said, it buckled Brock. He fell backwards, and he basically gave up. He covered up and turtled. And then Overeem just pounced. Could official time, 2 minutes 26 seconds, I think it said. 2 minutes 26 seconds, official time.
And there we have the last piece of the conversation between Dana White and Vince McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes. Oh, and by the way, that was also one of the holy shit moments of the year. The Brock Lesnar, the inclusion in the WWE 12 game.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, which I'm gonna throw a prediction out there based on something I heard about in the WWE 12 game. Now, I know a couple of you guys have it.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. United Kingdom. Does it ring a bell for you, Jason?
Yes. The United Kingdom is the faction that that WWE 12 created between a Welsh, Wade Barrett, a Scotsman, Drew McIntyre, an Irishman, Sheamus, and William Regal, an Englishman.
Actually, I think Wade's an Englishman, too. He's from Manchester.
Mm-hmm.
Let's throw Mason Ryan in there for fun. Wah-ha-ha.
Right.
Now that they're trying to get Drew McIntyre back on TV, Liam Regal has stepped away from commentator duties on NXT. Barrett's between feuds. And if they want to bring Mason Ryan up, that's no skin off my nose. They can hide his, you know, hide his greenness in this faction. I know I've blocked it. So I'm going to bring Shane in one last time.
One last time? Oh,
mainly because I think we've pretty much talked out all of 2011 and our thoughts about 2012.
Not true. Yeah, but no, we've just...
Whoa!
VRM.
Brock Lesnar has just announced that this is his last match. Yuck.
Oh, Dana. Oh, Vince.
Oh, really? We've had... This is Bolton news right here.
Oh, Dana. Oh, Vince.
Brock Lesnar for 2012 Royal Rumble winner.
Not that quick.
He'll be back, though. Mark my words. He's coming.
Oh, jeez.
Now, where was this... Where was this show emanating from, VRM?
This is from the MGM Grand Garden.
Las Vegas?
In Vegas,
yeah.
Okay. So this is breaking news brought to you by...
KFAM Radio.
Oh, love that. Oh, I'm crying. That's beautiful.
Lesnar will be in the Rumble. He ain't going to win it, but he's going to be in it.
You put it to you this way. I think Paul just texted Dad. Hey, Dad. Hey, Dad, listen. You got to hear this. I'm trying to do my best Triple H voice. Dad, wake up. Why'd you wake me up this way for?
I don't know whether he's trying to do Paul or Beck or if he's trying to do Vince McMahon. I'm confused.
No, I'm trying to do Paul.
Fair enough.
You know, but I'm betting there's been a lot of calls to Stanford now.
I was going to say, the phones were... The switchboard in Stanford is just lit up.
And RGB just said, looks like we'll soon see a familiar face in the WWE. Oh, man.
Boy, I'm in the wrong way. I ain't going to win it, but it's going to be fun to see him in it.
Dude.
So good. But that now that raises questions. Could that mean the rumor that we've been hearing about since that UFC aftermath with Taker and Lesnar, could that now be true? Could Taker now be facing Lesnar this year at WrestleMania?
It's entirely possible because now they've got the footage to play with. I believe Taker still has a kayfabe beef with Lister. I'll say no mercy too.
If they bring Lesnar that, he's not breaking the streak.
Now we bring up Taker, which leads you back to the whole Chris Jericho thing about how Jericho, when I've seen it myself, Jericho posted that little thing saying, I'm done with WWE, so just quit asking me and everything else. And that, but it just sort of raises a few questions with me, like two things. One, if it is Undertaker who's coming back, is he coming back as the Dead Man? Or is he coming back as something new, sort of like Kane? And two, is he coming alone? Because you see in the videos that little girl and everything else, like, I'm not helping you anymore. Could that be them trying to bring back Michelle McCool as well?
Michelle McCool, eat a sandwich.
I know Michelle has voiced interest in coming back. But their relationship has never been acknowledged on TV, has it?
But the thing is that Vince is now listening to the internet public. The whole internet public knows that Taker's married.
That's because a few pictures leaked.
So yeah, we could see probably a modified American Badass return with Michelle McCool riding on the back, sort of like early Chuck Palumbo days.
Where we joked that he had stolen Triple H's jacket, Undertaker's motorcycle. Who was the poor girl in the middle of all this? Because it wasn't Michelle.
Meanwhile, Twitter's blowing up on my end here.
I'll bet. About the Lesnar situation?
Yes.
Yeah, but imagine Brock Lesnar's phone right now. He's getting so many phone calls from so many different promoters. Hi, this is Jim Cornette from ROH. Hi, this is what's your name from? Jeff Jarrett from TNA. This is Paul Levesque from WWE. Get your ass over here.
No, the phone's ringing and Uncle Paul's sitting there going, I'm not answering it. Brock, don't pick up the phone. Not the way we voicemails with numbers.
Actually, I'm actually surprised that Nikki hasn't gotten off this call right now. I called up her uncle and said, did you fucking know about this?
That's true.
No. I'd be more polite about this. Uncle Paul, this is Nikki. I just want to know when you were allowed to actually book UFC.
Wow.
You see how much swell we get when who's show news, Ted, because we're in the archive. I watch UFC, and now we get a huge friggin' story out of it.
You don't know. No, BRM, awesome. The fact that you covered this, huge. This is earth-shaking. I mean, this is, put it to you this way, here comes the pain. I mean, seriously, no joke. He's coming.
You got to say it right, though. Well, here comes the pain.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
Too bad Taz is still in Orlando. Oh, well.
Well, it's WELP, WELP.
Yeah. And...
Well, here comes the pain.
Yep.
You tried.
No, you're all right.
Put it to you this way. How many We Want Lesnar chants are going to happen Monday night?
Oh. I'm going to have my TV turned up for this. I might have to suffer through cold just to hear that.
Put it to you this way. The IWC is exploding again. We just rebuilt the internet.
We just fixed the damn thing.
Holy cow. Good grief.
Oh, my.
Anyway, I think we I think we 2.5 hours. I think we're done. Oh, no, by the way, you have to announce, what is it, 90 minutes next week?
Yeah, you're right. Next week's show, there will be, we're having a 90-minute affair to cover the blockbuster that will be the January 2nd Raw. I think that's going to take up most of the show. Catching up on any news that we might have missed and starting the Lesnar countdown.
Yes. Because he's a coming.
I do believe he is coming. I think he went back to his locker room and he called Uncle Paul and said, "I'm done. When do we leave for New York?" Well, like, when do you leave for New York, Brock? I'll take care of the kids while you're gone.
Yeah, he's got a farm up in Canada. He's done. I mean, let me ask you this, though. Let's play a little serious analysis here. Would you consider, and VRM, I'll ask you this, would you consider his foray into MMA a failure?
No, because don't forget that he's been hurting because of the diverticulitis. He's had to have part of his colon removed.
Twice.
He did beat several champions. He beat Randy Couture. He beat Frank Mir. Even though he lost his first fight to Frank Mir, he beat Frank Mir. He beat Shane Carwin, who had finished so many guys on his way to he got the coaching job, coaching for a season of Ultimate Fighter. It's not really a failure. I mean, he was a world champion.
I think he did a hell of a job for the length of time he was there. I mean, come on, he was the UFC, he was their top champion. I have the picture to prove it from Ohio Valley.
Mm-hmm. And like he said, he was. Wrestling fans are salivating now, man.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, check to see if the Brock Lesnar shirts are on sale at WWEshop.com.
No, just keep monitoring, because if it's not up now, it'll leak just before WrestleMania. Just like they leaked the Save the Shirts. But, I'm liking this idea. I am definitely liking this idea, but we might want to go ahead and break this up before the internet breaks it up for us.
Mm-hmm.
What a way to go out, huh?
Huh?
So what a way to go out, huh?
Yeah, what a way to get in 2011, no kidding.
That's a hell of a way to the end of the year. So here's to 2012, and hopefully it'll be just as chaotic and awesome as what we've seen the last 6 months of this year.
Oh, yes, and please, if you're going out tomorrow night or tonight, as it may be, don't drink and drive. Call a cab. You know, we want to have you back here and listening to us. And, of course, Carl, thank you for the CLW83 network and giving us a home. Thank you very much.
As
no
we
joke.
Expand early next year, you're welcome, sir.
You know, seriously, no joke. Without us, without you, and, of course, WrestleChat.net, you know, we wouldn't have the voice that you had, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome, sir.
So, next week, 90 minutes. And I think I've done enough damage here for one night.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Yep.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Good night.
Now have night, fun all. Getting drunk, Shane.
For more information about this podcast and all of our other podcasts, please visit our website at clwa3.com. Any questions or comments? Please send an email to clwa3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Tune in.